You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
This is rock and roll. Time to rock it from the Delta to the DMZ. Is that me or does that sound like an Elvis Presley movie? Viva Da Nang. Oh, Viva Da Nang. Da Nang me, why don't they get a rope and hang me? Hey, is this a little too early for being that loud? Hey, too late. It's 0600. What's the O stand for? Oh, my God, it's early.
I don't know if it's the mood I'm in today or what, but I just realized that, right? Why don't, when he sings, why don't they get a rope and hang me? That's how he killed himself. Robin Williams. Joining me is Kim Holmes. Kim, what's up?
How you doing, Mac? Well, not so good today, but I'm doing good.
I'm pissed, man. I'm pissed.
I can tell. I haven't listened. You got a wild hair up your end.
Oh, man, I'm irritated. I'm irritated. So anyway, that little piece of audio. I don't know why it struck me for the first time ever that listening to it, that was how he killed himself. So. I don't know. It's not going to sound the same to me anymore. It's not going to sound as lighthearted as it used to sound. It's probably going to sound a bit, dare I say.
I felt that from the first time he says that.
Oh, really?
I thought, geez. I wish we could cut that out.
I'm a little bit, because
that's part of the shtick.
Right. I'm a little bit slower on the uptake. So,
Hey, just a brief. How was your interview with General Mattis?
You got to listen to it. It's awesome. It's awesome. No, I mean, first of all, he was very
good. I will. I'll listen to it. I'm
very
great.
He's very gracious with his time. Spent like about 70 minutes talking about the thing that I'm pissed about today, which is discipline. And then you see something like this happen, and it's not. Young people don't join the Marine Corps to smuggle people. They join for a challenge and to be something. And somehow or other, when that many people, that's not like, Holmes and McNamara, they're idiots, and, it's not a reflection on the organization. When that many people, opt to
it's
that.
It's a reflection on the organization.
Yeah, there's no way. You can't get away from it as much as we would all like to. And so... we've got the Marine. I say we. I'm not on active duty anymore, but I feel like I am. I mean,
are with what you're doing. You're active duty, baby.
Baby, really? All right. I'll accept that. Well, no, that's
not good. You're getting a retirement check, not a paycheck.
That
is so cool what you're doing now.
I'm not happy.
You have every right to be upset.
Well, no, my two sons, have both served. Patrick just got out a couple months ago. John's still on active duty. And so, let's see. What else do you want to talk about?
Well, I hope we get some questions on food.
Patrick's here.
Oh, hi, Patrick.
he flew out. He flew out.
Congratulations on your engagement.
Patrick getting married here, like a big man. So having Patrick around has been fun the last couple of days, and he'll be here through Sunday, so that's good. So that's been good. And I think we're headed down to the beach tonight to go do something. I'm not exactly sure, but the girls and I. And Susan is going to go. And
awesome.
Yeah, we've been having a good time. So fun having him around as he lives on the East Coast now. So it's always fun having more of your kids around. So he looks good, doing good. And So that's
hello.
Going. Oh yeah, all about it, all about it. He's working. He's going to work. He's going to get married in Annapolis. So.
Yeah, that's where my sister works. She's okay. Listening today.
Hey, what's up,
Casey?
Casey.
Shout out to Casey.
Now you're going to be proud of me. So when I tell you this story, so one of Patrick's favorite McNamara meals is flank steak, marinated yeah. flank steak, and my mother has this marinade that she uses. And it's one of Patrick's favorite meals. So we have flank steak on the night he flew out, which was Wednesday night.
Yeah.
So I put a lot of charcoal in the green egg, and I'm cooking both pieces of steak on the grill at the same time.
Yes.
I pull the first one off a little bit thicker, send it in.
Yeah.
Even though I had a meat thermometer, so I knew it was close. I give it to Colleen. I said, hey, take it into your mom. Tell her to cut it and have her tell me what she thinks. So Colleen brings it back out and says, you need to cook it more. I said, okay. So I put it back on the grill and then I stopped myself
yeah.
and then I pulled it off. And then I waited until the other one got to about the same temperature. Then I pulled it off, which was only a matter of a couple of minutes. And then I wrapped them in foil. And I let them sit for 10 minutes.
Beautiful.
And they did the little bit more cooking that Susan wanted done.
Yes.
They did it on their own without me scorching them on the grill. Kim would be so proud of me right now.
I am. And you remembered the cardinal rule that it cooks after it's wrapped and you set it aside, and everybody, when it's charred or cooked on the outside, the inside is rare, medium rare, however, it pulls in the heat into the center. That's the whole principle of letting it rest. So all the juices settle in. And then you achieve Centauri, the perfect temperature. Way to go, Mac.
Is that what it's called, Centauri?
That's what I call it.
it was just too nuanced for me to, like, I'm like, I'm not sure that I can do that right, to put it on and then take it off in time and all of that. I'm not sure I can do that. So, and then it dawned on me, ping! You should just put it in foil and then let it cook on its own. And man,
right.
I was so pleased with myself. It was ridiculous.
and Patrick loved it.
Oh,
and Susan loved it.
Well, Catherine and Colleen, they like their steak. Catherine is a steak and potatoes girl from North Dakota. And she's very proud of that, and so they all like their steak.
I'm ordering a porterhouse.
Wow.
Next week when Casey and my brother comes, Pad, they come next Friday, it's a 2-inch. Porterhouse, and it weighs between 40 and 46 ounces.
What?
and a porterhouse is the filet is on one side, and a New York strip is on the other side. And it's prime meat. You can see the marbling in it. And I can't wait to cook one up.
Here's a,
I'm going to save one and cook one.
There you go. Smart man. Here's a here's a question for you. Hey, Mac, I have a question for Kim. You see more and more things like ground turkey to use in things like hamburgers. I use it in tacos, except turkey meat doesn't taste the same as beef. Specifically...
No.
there isn't the flavoring that comes with the fat. Is there something I can do to give it that flavor?
You can, whatever your magic dust is, whatever you shake on your hamburger for doing tacos,
yeah,
shake the same stuff on the turkey. And the thing about when you use turkey or pork, you have to cook it through. You can't be doing turkey medium rare. You hurt yourself.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, it's best to cook it, you know, to where it's medium well, the turkey. But whatever you season, the closest you're going to get is whatever you season your tacos with ground beef.
Right.
You season that turkey with the same.
Got it.
And that's about as close as you're going to get.
Okay. All right. But I mean, we've talked about that with steak and marbling. That
yes.
There's one place that flavor comes from, and it's the fat.
Yes.
In the meat, and that's what gives it its flavor. So that's why. That's why the ribeye is our go-to.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
Because ribeyes are no matter what cut, what grade of steak it is, whether it's choice or prime, it's always good. It's just how you cook it, and you don't burn it and brutalize it, and it should come out, and you let it rest. Paramount. And then you should be in the front row.
There's another email question. It's entitled Potatoes in Foil. Mac, I don't know if you discussed this, but could you ask the chef why people put potatoes in foil? I've heard you all talk about doing potatoes with olive oil and kosher salt. What is the point of putting a potato in foil?
The point of putting potato in foil is to ruin the goddamn potato. That's what the point is. I hate it. You go into a restaurant and you get served. They don't even take the freaking foil off the potato. They just bring it to your table wrapped in foil. What am I supposed to do? Eat this shit? No. What it does, it creates... Potatoes release steam because there's moisture in the potato meat.
Correct.
And if you wrap a potato in foil, it wrinkles the skin. You don't get a crisp skin. And it just sucks. I mean, you just don't do it. I'm talking from me.
Right.
And I never served a potato in my restaurant. Or baked potatoes in foil in my restaurant. What I did was I have two sets. The first set was usually 5 to 7:30, and the second set started at 7:30 until 11. And what I would do was I would split my potatoes, figure out how many spuds I was going to cook that night, and then I would rub them in oil. Kosher salt, and then set them on a sheet pan. And then I would put half of them in at about 4:30. And they'd be done by 5:15. Oven would be on 425 degrees, and the skins would be beautiful and just perfect. And that's how you do a potato. And then at about 7 o'clock, I'd put in the second batch of potatoes. Or maybe 6:30 if we were running low. And that would be it. But wrapping a potato in foil is a sacrilege.
Wow. I didn't realize.
That was my rant for the day.
Yeah.
And thank you for asking that question.
Do you feel better about yourself now?
I feel so much better. I'm just kind of like a weight lifted off my shoulder.
Well, no, you know, I grew up with that. My grandmother, who was a great cook, she used to do that when we'd grill potatoes outside. We'd bake potatoes outside over a grill. They would be in foil.
Yeah.
And so you saw that. I don't know if they were fine restaurant, but I remember going out as a kid to nice restaurants, and you know the potato would be in foil, and it's like, well, I'm not sure why they do that, because my mom, because Corporal Punishment Kathleen doesn't do that when we're at home, but they must know something. And here now, all these years later, I find out they don't.
No, they don't. The good ones don't. But a sidebar on cooking a baked potato. You can wrap it in foil and throw it in the charcoals or sit it on the, I just don't even like sitting them on a grill. But we used to wrap potatoes in foil when we were camping and throw them in the coals.
Well, and they cook up pretty quick. Then the foil has a functional use, yes?
Then it works that way.
Got it.
But otherwise, don't do it.
Don't do it. Just say no.
Just say no. Exactamundo. Oh boy.
The here's a fish question. My husband and I love to eat fish. We both fry and then we grill fish. Grilling fish is a challenge because it is a bit more fragile. I've heard you talk before about using foil boats or cedar, and we've tried both of those. Relative to frying fish, is there anything that you can tell us to make what we do in a frying pan better? It's kind of an interesting question.
Yeah, I would use a cast iron skillet.
Okay, got that. Why?
And why? Because it holds heat longer.
Okay.
I used to cook my walleyes.
Now tell everybody that doesn't know what a walleye is.
Walleye is our fish indigenous to this part of the world. It's a white fish.
Okay.
Very flaky and delicious.
Yeah. If you're ever in the Midwest and you see walleye on a menu, I would order it. Because I'd never had it till I moved up there. And now I would tell you, if you offered me salmon or walleye, I would take either one readily.
Yeah. Yeah. Either one. But walleye is very good. But it's a delicate fish. And I would cook mine in a cast iron and I'd take the fish, the side that had the skin on it, and I would dust it with Wondra, white pepper and salt, and then liberally, and then, first white pepper and salt, and then the Wondra, and then I'd hold it up by the tip, the tail, and let any Wondra that didn't stick on there, and then I would sit it with the flour side down in about a quarter of an inch of olive oil, and fry it, and then when the edges started getting brown, I would take my tongs and I'd flip it over, I'd put a lid on it, and I'd move it off the heat. And that cast iron still holds the heat and would continue cooking the other side of the walleye.
Oh.
So, yes. Yes.
Now, you're
and you can do that with any fish.
You're flipping the walleye, but you tend not to flip salmon.
I flip salmon. I used to, when I had the original Sanders, I didn't have a char broiler. I cooked everything in cast iron skillets, like my grandparents did. And I would take a salmon fillet, no skin on it. I'd I'd take the whole, you know, 3 or 4 pound filet, and I'd take the skin off, and then I'd portion it out, and I'd have probably 7 to 8 ounce portions. And
okay, so you're cooking the whole fish. Because so in my mind...
I'm cooking a portion of fish. So a 7 to 8 ounce portion of fish.
Okay, is it skin on both sides with meat in the middle, or are you buying it like I buy it, like it, which is a filet that I'm going to cook with? And that's why I'm saying that I cook normally.
It depends how big your filet is, and if you have a 12 ounce cast iron skillet, you can use this. What I would do with my fish. Every other fish except the walleye I told you, I would have the cast iron skillet just hot as possible. And I would take that fish and I would oil it and salt and pepper it separately. And then I would put that oiled fish in the skillet and the oil wouldn't be smoky. It would sear the fish. And then I would flip it over and sear the other side. And you had, it's oiled. So there, then it wouldn't stick. Now, to cook, if you have a griddle, you can, put a little oil on that griddle and cook your fish on the flat top. I use my cast iron skillet on my charbroiler outside, and I like I have my indirect heat and my direct heat.
Okay, so hold on. And, so let's go back to flipping the walleye. Okay.
Yeah.
So now, when you say you're going to flip the walleye, is it skinned or just still does it have skin on both sides?
It does not have skinned on.
No skin. Okay. All right. Now, you flip that fish. Okay. Now, so you lightly dust the salt
and pepper. You can leave the skin on if you want.
I don't want to.
Don't get me wrong.
Right. I don't want
eating fish skin that's been scaled is quite acceptable.
Okay. So now I don't do that. So let's talk about my salmon fillet. I've got skin on one side, and normally I just let the bottom, right? I let it cook through the bottom, and I have the top on, so the top of the fillet cooks. And I don't have to scorch the bottom to do it. And you don't flip salmon, or do you? Are you a salmon flipper?
I don't flip it. I turn it.
You don't flip the salmon?
I flip it.
No,
sure
you
I
don't.
Do. If I'm cooking it in a cast iron skillet, I certainly do.
No, and you don't. I don't believe that. So I don't mean like skin on both sides. I mean skin only. On one side. You flip that salmon?
There is only skin on one side.
You
and
flip that salmon.
I still flip it.
That's amazing.
I still turn it.
Why?
Why not? Because I want to...
Really?
I want to cook it fast.
You're going to go call in on me?
Sear
Why not?
All sides. Now, time out here, Mac. Lighten up. You have a whole side.
Yes.
A side of salmon.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
You have a tail piece.
Right.
And then you have kind of a blunt end where the head was.
Yes.
Okay. I take, when I'm cooking for my restaurant, I took portions. Now, I don't know how big your filet is, but if I was cooking the whole filet, I would not flip it. But you would put a lid on top of it.
Oh, like
so
I do.
Heat would What?
Like I do.
Yeah. If you're cooking a whole side of fish, salmon, like a 6-inch piece of salmon.
Yeah.
For my restaurant, I couldn't do that because I just didn't do that. What I did was I would portion out. I would have a dry cast iron skillet, very hot, and I would oil, salt, and pepper the whole piece of salmon. And only once, the tail end, you only flip once. Okay? because there's oil in it. It's in a dry skillet. You flip it over. Bingo. It cooks in half the time, obviously. And then with the rest of the fillets, the portions, they're four sides. There's a top, a bottom, and a side.
Well, you know what? You lost me. What you're doing is too confusing. I've got like four sides. I've got like two cases. I've got like a big fat end. I got the tail that I'm flipping twice. You lost me.
Okay. Well, I don't know how else I can tell it.
Well, here's my question, though. Salmon is a frail fish, at least my experience.
Right? Yes, it is. It's like a walleye.
Right. Well, okay. All right.
It's not as delicate as a walleye.
Okay. But you're flipping the walleye without skin. You're flipping that fish. It's got flour, salt, and pepper on it. So, but you're flipping the walleye.
On one side.
What does that mean? You can only, how many times can you flip
it? I want a crust on
both
sides.
On both sides?
Where I took the skin off. And then there's not flour on the other side.
But
you flip it over in the oil. You put a lid on it, the cast iron skillet, and you scoot it off the heat.
Okay, hold on. Okay, hold on. So you're going to leave skin on one side of the walleye?
No, I'm not.
God damn it.
I never did. You never got a walleye from me with skin on one side.
But we're flipping the walleye, and yes?
Yeah, because it's going to be crispy on the bottom side. It's not going to break.
Right. Okay, all right. I'm with you. So we're flipping the walleye. All right. Yeah. Now, are we flipping the salmon? Are you flipping the salmon? I'm not flipping the salmon. I'm going to a salmon flipper.
Then don't flip it.
Are you flipping
yours?
For
God's sakes, don't flip it.
Are you flipping yours?
I turn it.
What the fuck is the difference between turning and flipping?
Well, flipping to me is... there is no difference.
Thank you. Holy shit! We finally got to the bottom of this goddamn thing. Okay, so we're not flipping the salmon. Or are we?
No, okay. We're just turning it over.
We're not, what do you mean? Turning over is flipping.
Okay, then we flip it.
So you flip your salmon?
Yeah, sure do.
You do not.
Every time.
You're making this shit up. You're making this shit up because you're done pissing me off.
I just want to make you happy, Mac.
That's what the Iraqis do. Did you shoot him? Yes. Well, they didn't really shoot him. Well, why did he tell me he shot him? Because he thought that would make you happy. Like, oh, my God. Arrest him! Okay, so we're not flipping any salmon, okay? It's too delicate of a fish. That's my thing.
It's way too delicate. Yeah, okay.
All right. Oh, now you're patronizing me.
Yeah. I don't know if I answered the question of the...
You didn't! I understand the walleye. I don't really understand if you flip the salmon or not.
Well, only if it's in a cast iron skillet.
Okay, so if it's in a cast iron skillet, you're going to take it and you're going to go skin up and open side down.
No, I'm going to start my salmon... If I don't take the skin off, I'm going to start my salmon with the skin in the oil first.
Right.
Or, well, I'm going to not put any oil in the skillet. I'm just going to oil the fish. And then I'm going to put the skin side down.
Okay.
And then when it's still raw on the top side, I will turn it over and cook the other side for about a minute just to finish it. And then I would take it out off the heat completely. I'd serve it. That's what I would do.
Okay.
I hope that helped.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. I don't know why you're being difficult today, but you're being difficult with me today.
I apologize.
That's all right.
God, I never want to be difficult.
I can tell how bad you feel about it. So did we, somebody just said turning is turning, flipping is flipping. I don't like, who turns the fish in the pan? Why would you do that? The only reason you would do it is if it was cooking unevenly. Right?
Yes.
Right? Oh, now yes. You're disagreeing with me. Now we're there? Really? We're going to go there?
Oh, no, no, it's... Yeah.
Some days it's easier than others.
You turn it over from one side to the other.
That's called flipping.
That's all I'm saying.
And we don't flip.
I'm not trying to be
difficult. Don't flip salmon. That's the rule.
Okay.
There you go.
Do not flip salmon.
It's a delicate fish. Now, if you're cooking the whole salmon, then I could see why you would flip it, because it's got skin on both sides. You're gonna cook it. It's gonna help cook it through the middle more evenly. I'm with you on that. To go like face down, like we do with walleye with the salmon, I'm not buying that.
Okay.
So.
I got you.
You two are like an old married couple. Oh, look, if you can't tell.
You should see us. You can see us when we're sitting beside each other.
If you can't tell, we've done this dance before, okay? So that's right. Just like an old married couple. I have a question for Kim. I've seen recipes about frying Twinkies. How would one do that? I've heard of that too.
On a cooking show where you fry Twinkies, you have to dip them in a batter.
Oh.
Any kind of batter you make up, you stick the Twinkie in the batter and totally cover it, and then put it in your fryer. And fry it.
Oh, so you just can't drop it in the fryer.
No, because you splash oil. You have to gently place it in the fryer.
I mean, you can't just, without batter on it, you can't just drop it in and fry it up.
No, I think it would dissolve. But there's an experiment that I've never tried. Either way. But no, I've seen it done. On TV, where they'll take a Snicker bar, put it in a batter and drop it in a fryer. Yeah, not drop it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, don't
place it in the fryer.
Don't drop it in the fryer. That will lead to splotchy skin, as the grease will blister your ass. Here's another one. Just so I have this straight, we flip walleye, we don't flip salmon. That's correct.
Correct.
No matter what the chef says, that is correct.
There you go.
How about salmon with no skin? You know what? I never buy salmon with no skin, so I have no opinion. Chef, if you have salmon with no skin, do you flip that salmon?
Well, I tried to explain that to you, so...
I thought we were talking salmon with skin.
Look, what I do with the salmon, if I have a whole side of salmon, and we're talking anywhere from 3 to 8 pounds a side,
okay,
I will take the tip, and I will take my... boning knife.
Right.
And I will run the blade along the salmon skin, just angled enough up to where I'm not cutting into the fish, but not cutting down into the skin. You try and make it as straight. It takes a while to get this technique down. But you go the whole length of the salmon from the tail to the head, and then you should be able to take the whole side of skin out separately. And that leaves you with a boneless, skinless side of salmon. And that's what I did at the restaurant. And then I would cut 7 to 8 inch portions, starting at the head, and going down to the tail. And I'd try and leave as much as I could on the tail. You know, like...
Okay, back to the question now. Do you flip that?
7.
Do you flip that?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I did.
I understand that. It's pretty tricky, though, because salmon with no skin, that's a relatively fragile fish, yes?
Yes, it is. And that's why I cooked it in a cast iron skillet. And that's why I oiled and salt and peppered the fish separately. I heated the skillet hot, and then the side that had skin on would go
down. You just said you took all the skin off.
I'm trying to explain to you what side I put in first into the skillet.
I'm confused. It had, there wasn't any skin on it.
Yes, I know that, Mac. But it had skin on it. All I'm saying is, it doesn't really matter. You can put one side down in the skillet. And let's say the tail piece. Okay, so that's, you know, it comes to a point at the tail. And you cook one side. And then you take your spatula and you put it underneath the piece of fish. Put your hand on the top of the fish that's not cooked and turn it over and let that side go, the uncooked side go on the skillet. You cook it for a couple of minutes or a minute, depending on how thick that is, and there you have it.
Right.
And you do the same with the other fillets.
All right. All okay. Right, we're done with that. I'm not talking about it anymore, okay? I don't care what you do with your fish now. Now I'm pissed. Can I ask you a meat question relative to grilling? I see people that press their thumb in the center of meat before they grill it, as in hamburgers. Why do they do that? Is there a reason? I've seen that.
Yes, there is.
Why?
When you put indentation, press your thumb in the center of a burger,
yeah,
and make like a little hollow there, it's to keep the burger from shrinking and turning into a hockey puck, where it stays, you know, you've shaped your burger and then you press into the thumb, your thumb into the burger, and make a little indentation there. You're not testing any rareness or anything. You're just making it so the burger stays spread out and doesn't shrink up. That's why you do that.
Got it.
And some people do it. Some people do not. It depends on how big your patty is and how thick it is. Those are the two things you have to think about.
All right.
If it's a real big, thick patty, you want to do that. If it's a little slider, it doesn't matter.
Got it. Another email. Hey, Mac, has the chef ever tried vegetarian meat? It seems
no.
to be all the rage these days. I wonder if he has.
No, I haven't. I don't think that has come to Grand Forks yet.
North Dakota. I mean, it should. I mean, I see it written about everywhere, and I dare I say,
I do too. I do too, And the fast food chains are trying to sell it, and I don't know if they're successful or not, but it still hasn't reached reached here yet. The long arm of meatless burgers has not hit Grand Forks yet.
Interesting. It is all the rage, though, don't you know? Mac, what happened to your Yankees? They got annihilated last night. They got annihilated? I mean, it's one game. I mean, I think if you look at the standings,
right.
I think if you look at the standings, there's still 10 games in front.
Hello.
I think that's
14 games in front of Boston.
So they got their asses kicked last night, but they'll be back today, and I think they're doing okay. I will say this, having watched the game, much of the game last night, and then I watched they have a pitcher by the name of Masahiro Tanaka, and he Masahiro Tanaka, and the Red Sox have just crushed him in two straight games. And so, I don't think it bodes well that he pitches against Red Sox. It's just, he's given up like 6 runs in the first inning the last 2 times he's faced him. I mean, yeah, it's horrific. So, yeah, I don't know what that dude's deal is. He's supposed to be pretty good, but he sucks against Boston. But yeah, last night, if you're a Yankee fan, was painful to watch. And honestly, if you're a Yankee fan, with all the injuries they have, like, they're just behind Kim's team, the Dodgers, for the best record in baseball, which is is a miracle. So if you're a Yankee fan, you have to be pleased with the season.
Darn right, you have to be pleased. So, the Yanks are, with all those injuries, they're doing really well.
and I'll tell you, and the other thing to really like about the Yankees is that all their best players are their youngest players. I mean, they're in their, they're right less than 25 years of all age, their best players. And so that means they're going to be good for years to come. So that's exciting too. They got their ass kicked last night though. You know, sometimes it happens, and it happened last night in Boston. Another email. Are we going to get a weather report from North Dakota or what? Yeah, normally you do the weather. What's the weather been like?
Weather has been spectacular. It's been in the 80s. A little humidity here and there, but not like on the East Coast or in Ohio or where I used to live, where it would be 100% humidity every day of the summer for 3 months, and you lived with it. But here, it's been pretty nice. Humidity here is like 50-60%. That's considered kind of high. But the wind's been, the breeze has been nice. It's been beautiful here. I can't believe it. I've only waited 7 months for this goddamn weather. And now that I have it, and my brother and sister are coming next week, next week, it's going to be good here. It's going to be nice.
Okay, I'm going to give you, somebody just sent me a link. Hey, Mac, before you get off the air today, could you ask the chef about these trends? Does he like them or not? 5 food trends to look for in 2019. All right, you ready? Number 1.
Yes.
Pacific Rim flavors. Are you for or against that?
Oh, I'm for.
You're a big sushi guy.
I'm for Pacific Rim flavors. We've been doing Pacific Rim for years.
All right.
That's flavors from the Pacific Rim. Could be Mexico. Could be
what?
Australia.
Mexico is not
Pacific
the fucking
Rim
Pacific Rim.
It's all the way around the Pacific
Ocean. It's not. It's not Mexico. Right. That's Mexican food. Pacific Rim starts in Alaska. We don't count Russia because they're illiterate fools. Then it goes to the Asian countries.
Asia.
And then down to Australia and the Philippines and all part of it.
Yeah.
So that's how, and that's how I, Mexico is Mexico, it's something else. Okay.
Okay.
No? All right. That's all. Okay. Number two, sea snacks. Are you in favor of sea snacks?
Sea snacks?
Yes. S-E-A.
I have no idea what sea snacks are.
Roasted seaweed chips are all the rage.
No shit. I would certainly try them.
Huh?
I don't know how much of a rage. They're not going to be selling them in bags in my local bar.
Okay. All right. Just looking for a reaction. All right, there you go. The salt of the earth people up there. Plant-based protein. We just talked about it. You haven't seen it, but you would try it, yes? You'll stick just about anything.
Absolutely try it. Of course I would.
Stick just about anything in your mouth. Let's see.
Yeah, I do. I love tasting different stuff. And then I can have an opinion on it. But until I do, we'll see.
All right. Another
number
trend.
Number four now.
Number four, people cooking and eating at home more.
Yes.
I don't buy that. People eat out a lot.
That's true.
You do?
I think it probably will, because going out to eat is expensive anymore.
I know, but I mean, for a guy like you that's all tunned up, like, you don't care. You just go out and, like, you know, you just, like, throw it all over the place.
I prefer to eat at home.
You do?
I prefer to, Beth and I cook our own food.
Even being as tunned up as you are.
As tunned up as I am, Mac, I can't walk out of the house without $100 bills hanging out of my pocket, man. I'm so fucking rich, it's just hard to, I can't stand myself. when you go out to eat, it depends where you eat, and my wife has allergies, I have to watch my salt intake now, and so if the chef's a smoker, he'll salt the hell out of everything so he can taste it. And then you get it, and you go, what is this? It's so salty.
No, it tastes so good, though. Give me something, something carbonated. Let's all knock this out. No, I hear what you're saying. You have to be careful.
I do now. Yeah.
You'd prefer to eat at home. All right, how about the last thing is, last trend, are you in favor of it, is eco-friendly packaging. Is that something that appeals to you as eco? Like when you see this package is biodegradable, do you say, hey, grab six of those?
Well, it depends what's in it. I don't mean to be smartass.
You're killing me.
If what I want is in a biodegradable package, absolutely.
Truth be told, you don't give a shit about the package, do you?
I do. Because, you look at how much plastic is in the ocean. It's just the way it's going. But, yeah, I hope it's a trend.
I don't give a shit about the package.
I know you do too,
like,
but
I don't even see the package. I don't even see the package. Like, I look at the meat or the chicken or the fish, like the package, I don't even see that shit.
Well, I know what you're saying.
Do you? Are you feeling what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
I got asked when I was running for city council. I got asked. Yeah. They kind of set me up. Well, no, they didn't ask everybody this question. And I had to go last because I had already answered one question. So they put me to the back of the line. And so so I listened to everybody ask this question. And the question was, if you're elected, how green will you be? And everybody, there was five guys running for the seat that I won. I got over 50% of the vote, too. Boom, bitches. Yeah. So, I have to go last. Everybody's talking about how fucking green they're going to be, blah, blah, blah. And I'm sitting there listening. And so it's my time. They're like, Major McNamara? And I said, well, you know, of all the planets I've lived on, Earth is my favorite fucking planet, okay? So I feel a responsibility to Earth to be a good steward of it. But here's my question. Is it okay with you if I raise your taxes to be green? And I think I just heard a, do you not realize that we pay to recycle? So I'm willing to be green. Is it okay if I raise your taxes to be green? Oh, it's not? Okay, so I can be green on the margin, but where does it rank relative to increasing our available funds to redo streets, to fill potholes, yeah, and do all the rest of this shit? Where does it? So I need you to tell me what the hell is going on. Is somebody doing a mill and overlay in your house? The Yeah, that was the question. That was the question I said. So I'm as green as everybody else, but I think a lot of green stuff is bullshit. But anyway, that's just me. That's just me. So I mean, I'll be green if I can raise your taxes, be green. If not, it's got to get prioritized along with every other thing that we have to do in this finite pool of money that we call a budget. And then we can sit and talk about it.
Yeah,
that's my story. I'm sticking to it. All right. Anything else you want to get off your chest about flipping fish or not flipping fish? Is there anything else?
No. I'm good. You're feeling good.
You're feeling good.
I love the questions today.
The
last five questions was very interesting.
Interesting.
I thought that was cool.
What about?
I'm sorry, I pissed you off today, but
that's all right. It happens sometimes with all married couples. What about? Fred and Ethel fought. What about? Have you seen any movies lately? You're supposed to be the movie.
I have not.
What?
Tarantino's movie is. I just haven't. Quentin Tarantino has a new movie that comes out today. Called Hollywood, the old days of Hollywood or some such nonsense. About, it takes place during the Manson murders.
Yeah.
And it's a Tarantino movie, so you know what that's going to be.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to see that. We saw a movie a couple weeks ago called Anna.
Yeah.
This woman was a Russian spy, she got flipped by the Yanks and ends up disappearing. It was an interesting movie.
All right, I'll ask you, I saw this article. I just saw it come out. The highest grossing movies all time adjusted for inflation.
Yes.
Right. So the Avengers just came out, and so I saw this article a couple days ago. I thought it would be interesting. So now you're a big time movie guy, or at least you profess to be. So I'm going to ask you, right, in terms of highest grossing movies of all time, adjusted for inflation, name. I'm going to give you five guesses, and we're going to see how many of your five are in the top 10. Okay?
Yeah.
All right, you ready?
Yep.
Do you need any music?
I'm ready.
What the fuck is going on? We can't even hear you.
I can't hear you.
I know, I can't hear you.
Just a minute. Beth had the blender going. She's making pesto.
All right. Tell her.
Go ahead.
Tell her we'll be done in 2 minutes. All right. So you have to name five movies that are in the top 10 all-time grossing movies adjusted for inflation.
Yeah.
All right. So go. Name them.
Avatar.
Hold on. Avatar. Hold on. I'm going to tell you if it's in the top 10 or not. Avatar is not in the top 10.
No way.
Yeah. These are adjusted for inflation. So Avatar, negative.
Gone with the Wind?
Gone with the Wind is number one all-time grossing movie. It had over 201 million admissions. Adjusted for inflation is $1.8 billion. Gone with the Wind. How about that?
The original Lion King?
Stand by. Negative. Lion King is not in the top 10. Some of these are right in your wheelhouse. Mac, this is your best episode with Kim ever. I think you should entitle it The Shit Show Goes Public.
Let's see.
Here's another one. Would you listen to the chef and stop breaking his chops already? Okay, so that's
Casablanca. Casablanca.
You're one of two. Casablanca is not in the top 10.
Jesus.
Yeah, you're horse shit. Okay.
Yeah,
that's three. You have two more guesses.
Tell me.
No, you have to guess.
Two more guesses. The Great Escape.
No. No.
And The Longest Day.
Negative. Okay. You call yourself a movie critic? It's got to be shit.
I guess not.
You just have to turn in your little, like, thumb up or down. Okay. Number one, Gone with the Wind. Adjusted gross $1.8 billion with a B. Number two, go ahead and kick yourself now. Star Wars, adjusted gross, how could you not say that? 1.6.
Yeah, because I only saw a couple of them. What, 20 of them now?
Adjusted gross $1.6 billion with 178 million admissions. Number three, The Sound of Music, $1.4 billion dollars adjusted gross for inflation.
Yeah.
Number four, E.T. Adjusted gross.
That.
Yeah. Adjusted gross, $1.3 billion worldwide. Number five, Titanic. Adjusted gross, $1.29 billion. Number six, the Ten Commandments. Cecil B. DeMille.
Charlton Heston.
Charlton Heston.
Moses.
Yep. $1.2 billion. Number seven, Jaws. Right? 128 million admissions worldwide. $1.15 billion adjusted gross. Number eight, Dr. Zhivago.
Ooh.
Yeah, $1.1 billion adjusted gross on 124 million admissions. Number nine, The Exorcist.
I never saw that.
You never did? Oh, shit. When Linda Blair spins her head, that literally scared the shit out of me. Yeah, that was not a good. I didn't particularly care for that. And then number 10, the only animated. Oh yeah, the only animated movie in the top 10 is
Bambi.
Negative. Close. Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, released in 1939. 109 million attendees for $982 million adjusted gross. So wow. I just thought, I mean, so when you see that a movie's the highest grossing movie of all time, I mean, they don't adjust for inflation. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, here's another one. I hope nobody turned into All Marine Radio for the first time today to listen to this. Yeah, I mean, I agree. It was not our best. Yeah, E.T. somebody guessed E.T. But yeah, those are adjusted for inflation, so that means all movies. Why is she mad at you? Okay. Gone with the Wind, Star Wars, yeah. Sound of Music, E.T., Titanic, The Ten Commandments, Jaws, Dr. Zhivago, The Exorcist, and Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. So there you have it. Mr. Movie, not so much. That should be your new title.
Not so much.
Mr. Not So Much Movie comes to do the review.
That title, I like that.
Because you don't have to be an expert.
I can live with that.
Yeah, you don't have to be an expert. You just have to be a cool guy who's funny. Sometimes. All right. Have a good weekend.
You have a wonderful weekend, and thank you.
You bet. You bet.
And enjoy your dinner and at the beach tonight.
Yeah, heading down to the
beach. Hanging out with your family.
Yeah. Yep. Have you ever been to Catalina?
No, I haven't.
Neither have I.
Santa Catalina's waiting for me, 26 miles across the sea.
There you have it. And on that note, we say goodbye to the chef. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
There you have it, Kim Holmes, the one and only. My hetero life partner, as he calls himself. He said that the first time, like live on the radio, and I was like, what the fuck did he just say? What? Yeah. The first and the second hours of the show are very different today. Because I had to tell you, this stuff, there's one way, in my opinion, to do it. And, you keep seeing these terrible events happen so that people can rediscover what works. And what works is timeless. What works is novices have to pass in front of experienced people on a daily fucking basis. And you do that in formations. And to hear that novices are holding their own formations, and then all this other stupid shit busts out, well, fucking hello. What do you think happens when novices police themselves? They do stupid novice things. That's why there's more senior people around to unfuck them. But we have to learn this shit over and over, right? I don't know, man. I find it disgusting, honestly. So, anyhow. On that note, I've got an air conditioner that I might try to fix right now. That's right. The fan burned out. So I watched a YouTube video. I'm big on that now. I watch YouTube videos, and then I fix shit. I snaked this mainline sewer, what, a week ago? That was a men's town event. So it says that I can pay between $400 and $600 to have a fan installed, or I can go down to fucking Home Depot and I can buy one for $97.20 in a box. Yeah. Wonder what we're going to do there, Larry. I don't know, Shemp. We might be going to Home Depot. Me and Pasha, we'll go to Menstown. Yeah, do some shit today. Anyway, have a great weekend on a Friday. And let me tell you, it's not when I bitch about discipline. It's not junior Marines. It's leaders that don't lead, that don't set standards, that don't care about them enough, that don't know them well enough. And now you have 18. Possibly 18 Marines are going to go to jail, federal jail, who signed up to be Marines. Fuck. That's fucking brutal. But that's what's going to happen. if they're all found guilty. And shit, they're probably guilty as hell. They've got text messages, instructions, conversations. Nice. Anyway, so on that note, have a great weekend. On a Friday, All Marine Radio. Over and... Well, hold on. If you haven't listened actually, I would tell you, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and they'll play tomorrow if you want to listen to them as they run live, but you can podcast them at any time. But I did a thing I called the four on Monday where I asked a question, and I had four people respond to it. And the question was, why do we lose more people to suicide than we do in combat among units that fight? And that's, I mean, when you hear that, we've lost more people to suicide than we did in combat, that just fucking takes your breath away. Then on Tuesday, General Mattis joined us. On Wednesday, General Furness joined us to give us an update on discipline. And he also talked about post-traumatic winning and after the class, what you have to do on the backside. And I, again, knock on wood, since January, and now we're getting to the end of July, one suicide. And anyway, you rack and stack that. They had six in the previous 6 months. So, yeah, I like that program. All right. And then on Thursday, the Lynch and Kinney event, talking about both General Furness and Secretary Mattis / General Mattis, talking about discipline. So check that stuff out. It's awesome stuff. I don't say that very often, but it's kind of true this week. So, have a great weekend. On a Friday, All Marine Radio. Over and out.